On Saturday Night Baseball, always a pleasure to have everyone with us. Remember Bridge Bank. You know, there's still many applications out there for some of the loans that are available from the government. Bridge Bank does a great job of taking you through that. They've done such a good job. Fred Voss, the regional marketing director, has been on with us, and Sheetal Cordova, Jesse Garcia, Mike Letterman, and everybody else. But absolutely, I'm going to take advantage of it as well with Bridge Bank. And I bank with them in Oakland, but if you're in San Francisco or San Jose, member of the FDIC and the Western Alliance Bank family, Bridge Bank, it is absolutely, and I recommend it highly, absolutely the place to go for your banking needs. All right, joining us now from the San Francisco Chronicle, and I was thinking about this today. I said, Henry should be on with me the whole show. I mean, there's so much going on in baseball, and I'm just thrilled that he'll have a segment with us. But, Henry, there is just so much going on every single day from the protocols, and is this thing going to work, and how you guys fit in, and the Giants roster. We could do a show for about 3 hours tonight. So how are you?
I'm doing okay. Yeah, I'm trying to, you know, catch my breath here before we all start get going again. If we get going again, I'm still very skeptical about all this with the way the cases are rising here. We could do a whole 3 hours on that.
Yeah, I recommend following Henry on Twitter at Hank Shulman, and I do, and it gives you a real perspective, a daily perspective of what's going on in the country, how it may impact baseball, and just how it impacts life. And Henry doesn't pull any punches. So I recommend following you on Twitter. I do, and I enjoy every time I see any of your tweets or threads that go with it. It really is enlightening. But, Henry, let's talk a little bit about baseball and what's going on here. We've got a 60-game schedule, so it's not a marathon anymore. It's a sprint. Everyone wants to know your thoughts maybe on how it affects the Giants and how the Giants will approach this thing.
Well, I think that, you know, I mean, if you look at any team except the worst teams in baseball, any one of them, all of them almost have had really good 60-game stretches, at least good enough to put them in contention for something. And, you know, even though at the moment the 16-team playoff is dead, we've heard from Tony Clark, the union, that could come back. So now you have to wonder if the Giants will look at this as a development season again, which is what was expected, although Farhan Zaidi will never really say that, that it's just a development season. Or do they make a couple of moves here or there to, you know, try and fortify the team to see if they can jump out to a huge lead and maybe get into the playoffs? They feel that they had an improved team last year. And after 64 roster moves, with all the drafting they did, the trades, all that sort of stuff, that they've made themselves a better team, and that they would consider, you know, maybe looking at this coming season before this whole COVID thing is, you know, we don't really expect to win, but maybe we can surprise ourselves. Now maybe they change that thinking a little bit to, you know what, let's see what we can do here. Let's see if we can do some damage here.
What is life going to be like with Gabe Kapler versus Bruce Bochy and watching a different type of game? Now, I know they spend a lot of the COVID time doing video games 3 times a week and, you know, coming up with every scenario possible. And, of course, that's not Bruce Bochy's way. But what about the actual game itself, watching a Giants game post Bruce Bochy? What is that going to look like?
Well, I think, you know, Bruce toward the end started changing a little bit. We got some glimpses of it, but I think, you know, you're going to see, especially now with, you know, without a full spring training, I think you're going to see very many variations on openers, starters, and relievers with, you know, piggybacking pitchers. And this is one area where the Giants may actually have an advantage. I mean, they've lost Madison Bumgarner, so they're not as you know, I guess top heavy in their rotation, but they've added some depth with guys like Kevin Gausman and Drew Smyly. And now you got to also consider a guy like Tyler Anderson, who was pretty good 1 year with the Rockies before he started getting hurt, and now he's back from a knee surgery. He's a full go for spring training. And so they have a little depth to their pitching. And I think you're going to see pitchers, for one thing, go a lot shorter. And I think that would have been true even without COVID. I think we would have seen some more, maybe not so many openers, but piggybacking of pitchers, pitch limits and the like. And I think one of the biggest things you'll see is that with Gabe, you know, I don't know that guys are going to get, especially veteran guys, are going to get the kind of rope that they used to get with Bruce Bochy. I mean, Bochy was always, you know, he always believed in his guys. If they went 2-for-16, his inclination wasn't necessarily to pull him from the lineup. His inclination was, well, he's due for, you know, he's due to break out, and I trust this guy because he's one of our guys. And what our guys, well, I put that in quote, what does our guys mean nowadays? Well, now our guys could mean, you know, the kids coming up from the minors and the like, and prospects, guys who wouldn't even have been in spring training, or I'm sorry, wouldn't have been on the roster this year, who will be in spring training, like, you know, Luciano and Ramos and guys like that. I think you'll see a lot more players used and maybe more rest time and matchups and things like that with some of the veteran guys, especially on the infield and Buster, maybe getting a little more time off.
Yeah, I see more pinch hitting during the game. I see more hands-on where you may have Belt or Crawford pinch hit for in the fourth inning, you know, and just to get that. I see more the platoon advantage with Kapler. Everything is going to be based on numbers.
Right. I mean, I don't know that everything is going to be based on numbers. I think that's how he started out in Philadelphia, and he quickly lost the team. I mean, like on day one. Mm-hmm. I think there has to be some accounting for what they call the back of a guy's bubblegum card. Whereas I think with Bochy, that was often a key, his key. I think with Kapler, it's going to be more something in the back of his mind. And, I think there'll be sort of more of a hybrid situation. I don't necessarily agree that we're going to see Brandon Belt pinch hit for a lot in the fourth inning or Brandon Crawford necessarily. In the fourth inning. I just think on a game-to-game basis, I think we'll see lineups that probably are more reflective of numbers, matchups, things like that.
Okay. All right. Well taken. We'll see how that plays out. Henry Schulman with us of the Chronicle. As I said, Henry could do the whole show tonight. Henry, if you could take us through a little bit of the roster. There's 60 players in the pool, 30 active right away, then 28, then 26 every couple of weeks. Three-man taxi squad. Once you leave the 60-man pool, you can't come back. If someone does leave the 60-man pool, how do they supplement that? Where do they find another player from?
Well,
go ahead.
No, you can. Guys can be added, I believe, to the 60-man pool. As long as somebody else is removed from it, and to be removed from it, you have to go by the same rules that. A 15-day disabled list or an 18-day COVID list is not taking you out of the pool. But if you have a player and you designate him for assignment and he's off the 40-man roster, or you option a guy or whatnot, and he's no longer with the Giants and he's no longer on the pool, I believe they can replace him. I could be wrong. I haven't read all 113 pages of the darn thing. But you know, because you can trade for guys. Obviously, we're going to have a trade deadline, and you know, guys who are traded for can join the Giants 60 game pool. But I think for the most part, they were already well below 60 players in camp. When the whole thing went kablooey in March. And I doubt there'll be anybody who's left off the 60-man pool who would be a factor probably to come up this season and help the team. In fact, it would be the other way around. You'll have guys like Marco Luciano, for instance, on the 60-man pool, and Hunter Bishop, who more than likely are not going to be in the major leagues this year. It'll be sort of more the other way.
Henry, are you aware of the Nashville League of unsigned free agents who will play games in Nashville? And they may be a source of players that could go into a 60-man pool if it becomes necessary?
I'm aware of it, and I don't know that the whole thing has been thought out completely. The one thing that kind of struck me was that they're going to be paid the same amount of money that minor leaguers are getting now as their supplement that they're being paid during the COVID shutdown. So it's $400 a week. And, you know, I'm thinking that if there's a guy who you know, is accustomed to making the major league minimum, even somebody like that, having to go play for $400 a week. I mean, it depends. We're going to find out who really wants to play ball. You know, here's a name I just saw just on the wire today. The Rockies released Kelby Tomlinson today. And there's a guy who's, you know, exactly kind of what I'm talking about. Here's a guy who, you know, at the very least has been making AAA money, which is, you know, is more than $400 a week. Now even with the changes that they're doing, it'll be, you know, $500-$600 a week. I mean, is he going to want to go play for $400 a week in Nashville on the hope that some team may need a guy like him? Or is he going to want to maybe, you know, just say that's it. You know, I'll wait till next year, or I'm going to do something else with my life. That'd be interesting. It would almost be worth a plane flight to go out there and watch that, although I doubt I would fly to Nashville right now.
I know you wouldn't. Tyson Ross has been released. Nick Vincent and Jamie Westbrook. I don't know what their choices are. Ross, of course, had the injuries. Vincent got knocked around a lot. And Westbrook is a sort of a career minor leaguer. But the Giants did let those three go, and they will not be part of the 60-man pool.
Well, there's only one of those that surprises me. I mean, I think with Ross, I mean, they have plenty of guys who can do what Ross does, who are already there. And I mean, we're going to have to ask Farhan when we get a chance to talk to him why those three guys of all. The one that surprises me though was Nick Vincent, because he was really good for the Giants last year, and then he got hurt, and then he. He was on a DL for a while, IL or whatever. And then when he kind of got healed up, the Phillies signed him, and he pitched really well for Gabe Kapler. And there was a lot of excitement for him, kind of coming back and doing what he did for the Giants. I mean, he was a guy who could, you know, get one or two outs, but he could also give you three innings. And, I'm really not sure why. I mean, I don't know if there's any, you know, issues related to, family situations with COVID or whatnot. I really don't know. It would be wrong for me to speculate. I am looking forward to asking about that, however.
Interesting. Henry, what about the schedule? What's your thought about the schedule? Does it sort of favor the Giants in any way? 10 games against the four opponents, 6 with the A's, 2 home and road with the National League West, and 2 3 game home and road with the National League West, and that adds up to the extra 20. What do you think about the schedule?
Well, I think within the division, this is one of those years within the division that, the schedule is not going to impact the race one way or the other, because everyone's going to be playing the same number of games against, pretty much the same interleague opponents. And a lot of times, you have a situation where you have some teams that are playing interleague. The interleagues, you don't play everybody in the interleague at every stadium and whatnot. And you could have one team that has the tougher, opponents, one team that has the least tough opponents. I think that from a league standpoint, I think that the National League West, I think pretty much has it a little easier than. Well, harder in one sense that if the Giants, for instance, have to go to Houston and Dallas this year, it's a little harder than an East Coast team, because the East Coast teams aren't going to even have to leave their time zone, not once in 60 games. Whereas the Giants will have to go to Colorado, will have to go to Houston. I would like to think that the two Texas teams will be split in a way that none of the NL West teams, rather, have to go to both. That would be a little unfair, I think. So you have to look at it, pretty much the way you look at it in a normal season. The National League East teams, they're going to be playing the American League East teams. And so they may have it tougher in the wild card than, say, the National League West, because there are some really, really good teams. They have to now worry about the Blue Jays, who are good, the Red Sox, who are good, the Yankees, who are good, the Rays, who are good. And they're going to be competing for the same wild card spots as, say, the Giants, who might not have that level of competition everywhere. So in that sense, it'll sort of be like a regular season. I just think that with 60 games and pretty much all of the games being reasonably close geographically without any kind of crazy, you know, road trips and long trips, cross-country trips home. I just think the schedule will be actually less of a factor than it normally is.
I agree with that. 10 playoff teams, so three division winners and two wild cards, but the wild card is impacted by the interleague, and that's what Henry has been talking about. Henry, the Giants have offered to their season ticket holders the ability to have a photo taken and place it on their seat. In other words, a cutout of being in the ballpark. Are you going to do something like that?
Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to make an offer. So it's $99. If you're a season ticket holder, you get a cardboard cutout for free. If you're not a season ticket holder, you can pay $100. What I will do is I will charge the fans $25 not to throw peanut shells and sunflower shells and spit my Coke out at their cardboard. It's really extortion is what it is. But everybody's got to make a buck nowadays. Look, you know, I mean, it's a fun thing. And I really do. I think the Giants could have done this without charging people $100. You know, just let anybody do it. I think that might have been a good idea. I don't know why they have to charge $100 for it. That seems a little usurious, if I'm pronouncing that word right. Mm-hmm. But, you know, everyone's trying to do some fun stuff. I mean, there is the bigger issue that supposedly any team that can have fans, real fans, come in based on their local laws will be allowed to, based on distancing, while others can't. I don't necessarily think that's equitable. Baseball says they can't really do anything about that because every state has different laws. But we know baseball does stuff all the time that goes against various state laws because they have an antitrust exemption and, you know, they pretty much can do whatever they want. So I just think that's a case of, you know, Manfred and his executive team not wanting to tell any owner, if you know, that you have an ability to make a buck, we're not going to let you.
Oh, boy. All right, last thing for you, Henry. And, again, thank you for being on. And I really look forward to having you on as this spring training's back. It's you and me. We would be standing around and, you know, being on the Saturday and Sunday shows every once in a while. So maybe over these next couple of weeks we can recreate a little bit of that before it all starts. But Farhan this week was in the news, and not necessarily baseball news, but political news, commenting about the councilman in Scottsdale. And in all the time that I've followed baseball, I'm not sure I remember a general manager, president of a baseball club, commenting so vigorously on a political issue. And I think Farhan got a lot of points for it.
Yeah, come on, Marty, say the words. What did Farhan? No, don't. I can't get you in trouble like that. Yeah, I mean, I was just talking to some people about that today, you know. I think Farhan did score some points. And, I mean, it was just an outrageously stupid thing that person said. And the interesting thing about it is that, you know, the Giants actually hold some sway in Scottsdale. I mean, the Giants are a big part of the Scottsdale economy for, you know, two and a half months a year. Farhan, from what I read, said, I think he told Andy Baggerly in The Athletic, I think he said that, you know, we're going to have some internal discussions about what we're going to do to respond to this. And, you know, I don't know exactly what they can do. The Giants are, you know, tied up in leases and whatnot in Scottsdale. But, you know, let's face it. Arizona is just, it's one of the worst states in the country. I mean, they're just run by, you know, they're run by hacks. And I'm not going to get into partisan politics. But, I mean, people know which states we're talking about. And, you know, it just goes into the whole, you know, thing about masks and public health somehow becoming a political issue where if you're on one side, you know, you're against freedom. And if you're on the other side, you know, you want to take away people's freedoms. And it's the stupidest thing in the world. And that's why our COVID rates are just soaring while Europe is pretty much solved it, while the Asian countries have pretty much solved it. Even Brazil, I read something about how some of the states here now even have a higher per capita COVID rate than Brazil. And, you know, I mean, I'm not going to get into a political screed here, but there's no reason for that idiot to not only, you know, insult people who are trying to save lives, but at the same time, make fun of somebody's dying words when he was killed by a police officer with his knee on his neck. And, you know, what I'd like to think is that that everybody in the state would censor this guy. But the problem is it's Arizona, so half the state or more than half the state is laughing along with him. And, you know, it's a mess. And I'm glad Farhan said what he did.
Yeah, I thought it was great. I thought it was terrific that Farhan said what he said. And if you don't know, we won't repeat the words here. But check it out online, yeah. And you guys wrote about it as well. And as you said, Andy in The Athletic wrote about it too. Henry, thanks for coming on. I appreciate it. You guys are a key part of what the coverage is going to be here. If everything goes well, and I realize there's a big if there, over the next couple of months at the ballpark, because you will be seeing the games and staying safe. And I'm looking forward to having you on. And I do appreciate all the work you do in KMBR.
Oh, thanks a lot. Anytime, Marty.
All right. That is Hank Shulman on Twitter, Henry Shulman, our friend, and does a really solid job here covering the Giants. As I said, you want to follow him on Twitter. If Henry's comments of the last few minutes are very typical of the things that you could pick up on Twitter from him. All right. More coming up. KMBR 680-1045, the sports leader.